Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. For those of you who weren't able to catch the broadcast yesterday, and let me just pause for a moment. If at any time you do miss a broadcast or wish to re-listen or rehear it, please feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast. They are archived there to listen anytime you choose at your convenience. But as I shared yesterday, the subject I'm going to be sharing on is prevailing prayer. We need it as never before on behalf of our nation, but also in terms of our spiritual life. And we're looking at chapters 28 and 32 in the book of Genesis, and we're going to learn some powerful lessons from the life of Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of the Lord, Jesus, in his pre-incarnate form, and his name was changed to that of Israel. Now, most of you, I trust, would know the story, but I'm giving kind of an overview. And why am I doing that? Because where we are at in terms of the body of Christ, in terms of our personal walks, there is a sense of urgency. There is a sense of the Spirit of God moving and ministering to us in ways we've not experienced before. I don't know about you, but I certainly have experienced that in my own life, where God is calling us into a higher place, into a deeper walk, into a greater commitment. Because, beloved, the things of this world are passing away. Light is getting lighter, and the darkness is getting darker. Those words of Isaiah, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Is that not being fulfilled today? For those of us who understand the ways of God and the righteousness of God, it is a grievous thing to see the lack of moral conviction, the lack of rationality and logic that is out there in the world, the confusion, the anarchy, the chaos, the violence. Beloved, it's a time for prevailing prayer. And that's what Jacob did. He was at a place in his life that he needed a miracle from God. Many of you are in that place right now, whether it's in terms of your spiritual walk, whether it's in terms of your circumstances. I know from letters coming in, from my knowledge of the partners alone, that some are going through extremely difficult times. God is allowing us to be tested, just as He did the early church, beloved. We do not have any exemptions or exemptions from the tribulation that Jesus promised would be a part of our earthly existence. We will always have battles. There will always be temptation to impatience, to frustration, to discouragement, to disappointment, all the things the enemy could bring. But take heart, beloved. Do you remember that scripture where Jesus was tested in all points as we are? He faced all those things: disappointment, discouragement, frustration, impatience, anger, but He didn't sin. He probably was tempted to human anger, but He didn't sin there. Any expressions of anger were godly and righteous. And so, beloved, we are looking, and I was just giving a general overview because I trust most of you are familiar with the story of these two major episodes in Jacob's life. And you might just want to read those chapters in terms of what God did, how He interacted with Jacob. And so what we see is that Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and throughout the night he was alone, and it says that he didn't prevail against the angel. The angel of the Lord, rather, did not prevail against Jacob. And of course, the Lord obviously was wrestling with human strength. And what we see is that Jacob was evidencing, he was demonstrating an earnestness, an intensity, a drive, a perseverance that touched the heart of God. That's what we see in his prevailing prayer. And such holy determination will touch the heart of God. It will move the hand of God for blessings. Remember, it was by faith the wall of Jericho fell down. And remember the scripture that says, thou shalt find me when thou shalt seek me with all of thy heart. And in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 28, he says, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. God is touched by faith, and he's touched by perseverance. Jesus gave many parables about the importance of persevering prayer. And so we see, as I want to read a few verses in Genesis, the 28th chapter. In fact, let me start at verse 12. And if you recall, as far as the setting, the context, he was fleeing from his brother Esau, and he was told by his mom to go to Laban, his distant relative, and stay there until the anger of Esau, his brother, who'd been cheated, if you will, out of his birthright, and he didn't value his birthright and the blessing of the firstborn. He was fleeing, and he just went and slept that first night, and he named it Bethel because he had a dream. Verse 12 said, and he, Jacob, dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am, this is obviously a spiritual dream, and because he is shaken by it, he is powerfully moved by it. And he said, I am, he's identifying himself, God is, the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, who was his literal father. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And then in verse 21, Jacob, after he wakes from his dream and he's just really shaken, he said, how dreadful is this place? This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he vowed a vow saying, God, if you're going to be with me and will keep me in this way, like you said, that I am going, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. In other words, if you meet my needs so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That's a very important distinction there. And so what we see is that he's sharing what he said. And of course, what happens in chapter 32 is 20 years later. We're going to go into detail. I just want to give an overview. But God had fulfilled his promise yet in, as he said, in Genesis 28:21, Jacob had the desire to return to his father's house after 20 years, and then his father's God would become his God. And now we're, of course, he's at that point at the Ford Jabbok, and he's wrestling with the angel. He has his encounter with God. Everything he had was at stake. His very life, the life of all that he possessed, including his family, his wives, his loved ones. He was aware of his present opportunity and that the time was imminent. Dawn wasn't far away, and whether it was deliverance or destruction, beloved, that I'm sharing this because I see so many parallels to where we're at right now, nationally as well as individually. It's a time to choose, beloved. I mean, no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. You can't sit on the fence, beloved. Now is a time to make a decision. Some of you who may be listening and you have not fully surrendered your heart and life to God, it's not just enough to say, well, yeah, I went down and I confessed Jesus as my Savior. How are you living for him right now? Are you backslid? Is there anything in your life that's displeasing him? It's a time to get right with God, beloved. It's a a time to repent. And just, I mean, listen, in his life circumstances at that point, everything was at stake. And although perhaps, you know, because he was the anointed of God, God had a purpose and plan for his life. Maybe a man less committed would have just said, well, you know, what's going to be is going to be. He would have tired, he would have given up, but not Jacob. And I believe God is calling those who have ears to hear. He that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. When Jacob said, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to turn back, I'm not going to deny my God, I believe you, God, I'm holding on to you. When the angel of the Lord, Jesus basically, saw that this Jacob had that attitude, he'd already won the victory. And what happens, if you remember, he touched his joint, that dislocated joint means that, again, I'm just giving an overview, that Jacob's resisting power, his carnality was being broken down when God touched his that inner thigh, if you will. The modern language in the Living Bible says struck. And of course, you know, it's not easy to wrestle with a thigh out of joint. So what's the whole significance? For power with God, beloved, there's a price to pay in our flesh. There may be physical, emotional suffering. There may be humiliation before our peers to gain the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember Paul's thorn? Sometimes, you know, we have to go through periods of time where there are real afflictions, there are battles, but like Jacob, we have to hold on to God in prayer and say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Well, beloved, my time has flown and we were going to continue. And again, I'm just giving you an overview and then we will go in depth into the real dynamics of what was occurring in Jacob's lives. And I'm just praying and believing the Holy Spirit to be able to apply it to our lives so we also can be transformed as Jacob was, from Jacob to Israel. He who has power with God and man. Praise God. That's a high calling, wouldn't you say? Anyway, I love you. I pray for you every day. I invite you to write. And if the Holy Spirit's moving on you, I don't care if there was one dear sister, she listened for 25 years. She finally wrote. I got so excited. So I invite you to write. If God's moving on you, he has a reason for it. If you email, I'll confirm receipt. I'll pray. If you'd like a personal letter back, I ask you to enclose your mailing address. I love you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,